This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? This week's program, The Bible's First Questions, studies the questions and the answers found in the fourth chapter of Genesis. In today's broadcast, we look at the third question found in chapter 4, verse 7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. During the rest of the week, we will focus on the remaining questions found in Genesis 4. Let's get started with today's program. Today's question again, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That's Genesis 4, verse 7. Consider this. God's conditions and expectations are presented throughout the biblical text. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, we learn that obedience always leads to blessings. Sometimes those blessings are physical, but there are always spiritual blessings associated with surrendering our will to God's. Deuteronomy also tells us that disobedience always leads to cursings and or the absence of blessings. A direct correlation does not exist between obedience and physical blessings. Old Testament passages frequently present challenges to God's fairness with questions like this. God, why should we be faithful to you? These people, and pick whatever evil nation or people that's under consideration in context, these people are wicked, yet they enjoy prosperity beyond compare. We, your chosen people, we who seek to do your will, we are suffering. The opening verses of Jeremiah chapter 12 reflect this very sentiment. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. The point, the most important blessings we receive from God must be measured spiritually more so than physically. And the corollary, the ultimate absence of blessings or cursings from God must also be measured spiritually more than physically. There are rich, wicked people, and there are poor, righteous people. God's concern centers on our spiritual, not our physical conditions. God's conditions, as we noted in our study of the questions in Genesis 3 last week, are always stipulated in advance. God's conditions, his expectations, are always given and offered for the benefit of the specific soul involved, Adam and Eve, or Cain and Abel, those who are around that soul, their friends and neighbors and associates, and finally, they are always offered for the benefit of God as well. Note the element of mercy that's built into this question that God asks of Cain, if you do well. First, the principles, conditions, and expectations were already in place. That God gave them principles and restrictions in the first place, for example, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that God did that is a very demonstration of God's mercy, of his love, and of his grace. Theoretically, God could have simply punished them for eating of the forbidden tree without having forewarned them. Please note that we use that word theoretically. That's not God. Every action of God coincides with his mercy and his grace, even in his rebukes. God acts mercifully and graciously. Second, note this, that God said these words at this point to Cain indicated that God still wanted Cain to know that those principles, conditions, and expectations that he initially gave Cain and Abel, and others in other contexts as well, was still in effect. It was still in effect, even though Cain had just violated those principles, conditions, and expectations in some way. What does this tell us about the nature of God? Some people view God as if he were a cosmic cop, a cosmic policeman. waiting for someone to make a mistake so that he could pull them over and give them a ticket. While it's true that God punishes us for doing wrong, it would be a mistake to assume that everything that God does should be perceived in such a negative way. God wants us to do good. He looks for us to do good, and He stands ready, willing, and able to reward us when we surrender our will to His when we do good. The psalmist noted, for example, in Psalm 14, verse 2, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." In that context, souls had turned away from God, and they had acted corruptly. But there are times when God looks down and sees righteousness in mankind. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," Genesis 6:8. Notice also this sentiment: "For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly," Psalm 84, verse 11. Observe that God wants to give good things to those who walk uprightly. God wanted to see Cain behave like Noah. God wanted to see Cain behave in such a way that he would be like those who walk uprightly. God wanted to accept and to bless Cain just like He accepted and blessed Abel. When God asked Cain this question, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" He showed mercy. First, He showed mercy by letting Cain and Abel know what his expectations about offerings were. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." In this regard, note, "But if the Lord had given prior revelation about sacrifice," and we are contending that the text says He did, "it is likely that He would have included some specifics about the nature of that sacrifice as well." That's exactly right. Because God anticipated and expected Cain's obedience, as evidenced by the questions, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? And if you do well, will you not be accepted?" The expectations that God wanted were clearly stated and certainly understood by Cain and Abel. Next, note this. By citing the expectations again, God revealed this: He knew that Cain understood the requirements for an acceptable offering. God knew that Cain knew it initially, and God knew that Cain, even when questioned, still knew what God wanted. What's the point? First, God specifically expressed His will concerning offerings. Hebrews 11:4 and the immediate context of Genesis 4 signals this. Second, Cain violated God's will. Third, God expressed His will again, even after Cain's violation of that will, by asking the questions we read in Genesis 4. Fourth, in doing so, God displayed continuous and ongoing concern for Cain. What did Cain think about God's concern for his welfare? Well, evidently, not too much. As we study the rest of the questions and Cain's answers to them, we will soon see what Cain thought. But let's go back to that cosmic policeman question and issue for a moment. The question is this: if you do well, will you not be accepted? The question is, in effect, a promise by God, a promise of God's grace. In that promise, God tells us what we should do and why we should do it. If we will do what God wants us for the reason that God wants us to do it, then our actions affect our acceptance. That God shows us how, by faith, to access His grace surely reflects His grace. This principle appears throughout the revealed Word. Consider Paul's statements to the Romans about it. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." That God gives us the opportunity and the responsibility to hear, to understand, and to comply with His expectations shows us just how much God cares for us. Cain showed disrespect toward God in at least two ways in this context. First, he disrespected God by willfully failing to surrender his will to God's will. He failed to present his offerings as God instructed him to do so, either with regard to the quality of his offerings or the quality of his attitude, or both. Second, Cain respected God's will by willfully refusing to accept God's judgment about his failure. Even though God graciously instructed him about the offerings, and even though God still, acting graciously, informed him that his offerings, though not initially acceptable, could become acceptable if he conformed to God's will the next time, Cain still became angry. The rest of the passage shows us that he continued his hard-heartedness. God told Cain that his reaction was too negative. He did not condemn Cain for his offering. Though Cain had erected a barrier between himself and God, he had not done irreparable damage to that relationship. He could still do right and could still be accepted. As far as God was concerned, Cain needed to demonstrate greater devotion in his future offerings. Even after Cain's sin, God taught this to Cain and to us. First, your prior sin can be forgiven. Second, you do not have to repeat that mistake again. Third, your future offerings, services, or devotions can be accepted if, fourth, you obey my will and my word as I have revealed it to you. Let us all strive to learn and apply these lessons in our lives every day.